Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And I'm looking forward to our visit today with Ken Grombach. Ken is a member of our Brain Trust. He's been with us several times before. He's the president of KGA Advertising, where he has blended salesmanship, persuasive public speaking, and savvy business counseling to grow his company into one of New England's largest full-service advertising agencies. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you here because you talk about some things that no one else really talks about on our show, and of course that's the reason you're here, and that's demographics. It's an issue. It's a subject that I think that I'm really enjoying learning more and more about, and I know my audience is, and it's something that I think small business owners don't pay that much attention to, but they definitely need to. And that's the, as I said, that's the concept of the subject of demographics. Tell us, remind me where you are in New England.
We're right in Middletown, Connecticut. Middletown is so named because it's right in the middle of the state.
Yeah. Now, that's not far from Chester, is it?
No. In fact, Chester is just a couple towns south.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I couldn't remember if you were north or south of Chester, because I've been to Chester.
Really?
Actually, I've crisscrossed the state a couple of times. I don't think I've ever been to your town, but I have been to Chester. And it's beautiful, beautiful country. And, folks, if you ever get a chance to go to Connecticut in late September, early October, it's breathtaking, isn't it, Ken?
Yes, it is.
And be sure to drive around in the little, through the little communities. It's just get off the interstate.
The Connecticut River is compared only to the Rhine in terms of beauty.
Really?
There's no industry on the Connecticut River.
Is that right? You know, I don't know. I may have crossed it. I don't know that I remember it. What I remember, I was there in 84 or 5. I've forgotten. The end of September, and the leaves were early. And I drove through all these little townships, you know, established 1635 and all that, and I saw a lot of little ponds.
A lot of water.
Little ponds and everything. I didn't see many. I don't remember the river, but I just remember it was just absolutely magnificent, and that's one of the things I'd like to do is go back. So what I need to do now is that maybe this fall I'll call you, and you tell me when the leaves are going to be turning, and then I'll run up there and visit with you or something.
I think with the drought, it's going to be early.
Probably will be. It could be 2 or 3 weeks early, huh?
Yep.
What's that got to do? What's this got to do with demographics, Ken?
Not much.
Let's talk about demographics.
It's funny that you say that small business people don't think about demographics. I was with a very large corporation earlier this week, and they're experiencing a 6% decline each year in their business. And we're talking major corporation, unnamed. And we were chatting
6%
about
6% a year. That's major.
But they're privately owned and have a lot of money, but it's still, in 4 or 5 years, you know, I don't know how much longer they can hang on.
That's 6% decline. That's equity eroding.
Well, they're getting killed. And they had no idea of why. They couldn't put their finger on it. And this is a nationally advertised product. And I said, did you ever think about, and then I went into the demographic explanation of it. That the 18 to 34-year-old marketplace is 40% smaller than it was 15 years ago. And they all looked at each other like that was some kind of revelation.
This was news to them.
Yeah, and I said, you know, where did you get this information? I said, why don't you try the census? You know, go to your computer.
Where did you get? They looked at you like you come from outer space or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, but that's
how could you be that big and not know that information?
Well, it's Levi Strauss didn't know it. And,
yeah.
And they were they're the largest apparel manufacturer on the planet. Last year, their sales dropped by $1 billion.
Because they didn't have as many young rear ends to go.
Well, that's exactly right. The 18 to 34-year-old marketplace that everybody has marketed to for the last 50 years is 40% smaller than it was 15 years ago. They buy more clothes, the 18 to 34-year-olds, than any other demographic group, hands down. And they still do, even though they're much smaller. I mean, in a quantitative way. So, people who are not watching this, it's going to affect them. And it's going to affect large businesses, and it's going to affect small businesses, because we're all in this together.
Well, what are some things that we need to be looking for? What are some other things we need to be looking for as small business?
Well, specifically,
One of the things you and I talked about was unemployment. That was an interesting thing.
That's probably the most pervasive and one that could be the most devastating to a small business, because what's happening now is, again, back to the 18 to 34 year old marketplace, that is called that generation that was you know, again, ages roughly 18 to 34 years old, makes up the entry-level marketplace for employment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 40% fewer of those. So for every 10 baby boomers that moved through the time and, say, you know, left 10 jobs behind as they mm-hmm. moved up, there's only 6 people to fill them. And the problem is, I mean, you don't have to go too far to see the problem. Go to a McDonald's, go to a fast food
place, yeah.
and see how difficult it is for them to operate. Well, that's fine for now, because entry level really doesn't make it painful for anybody except some bad service at fast food.
Mm-hmm.
But wait until that that lack of employable person reaches middle management. We're going to have some serious problems. And what it means for small business, people that employ 1, 2, 3 people, they're going to have a real hard time keeping good people. And they've got to rethink how they keep good people. They've got to rethink how they pay them. They've got to have to rethink their benefits. They have to rethink their corporate culture. They have to rethink that totally, because if they're constantly looking to replace key people because they can't keep them, they won't stay in business.
You know, there's something else, Ken. If we go back a ways, you and I remember, you and I knew, or were witnesses to the corporate culture that shoved the brain trust, the older guys, shoved them out, gave them early retirement, bought them out, and got them out because of the money they were making, and replaced them with much too young guy people, I should say, in those slots. And now we've lost that brain trust, and we've accelerated the careers of some of these young people. And when I say these young people, these people are our age, actually. And we've accelerated that, and so we've actually increased the vacuum from a management standpoint, because if we hadn't been so quick to shove those older people out, that brain trust out, then we would have, I think that I don't think it would have been as bad a situation as we have right now. Do you see my point?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Do you agree with me?
I do. And there's another mindset among the baby boomers who are 35 to like 51 or 52, and they look to retire way early.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to run the country.
That's exactly right. I mean, we have people retiring in their 40s now. How do they do that? I don't understand it. I want to tell you, I'll remind you of a cartoon when we come back after this break, folks. It's 20 after the hour. Ken Grombach is our special guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. 888-822-8255.
Hello, stranger.
All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Ken Grombach. He's the president of KGA Advertising out of Middletown, Connecticut. Right, Ken?
That's right.
Give us the website.
It's KGAADV, www.kgaadv.com.
All right, what will we find when we get there?
You'll have a lot of fun.
All right, good. Yeah, she's right, folks. I've been to that website, and it is a lot of fun. You'll enjoy it. KGAADV. KGA. I'm sorry about that. KGAADV.com. And give us your phone number, please.
In Connecticut, it's 860-347-6626. If you want to call me direct, it's extension 108.
Go ahead.
Or what?
Well, I was just going to say, or if you go to my website, you'll find Ken listed there in the Brain Trust, and also links to his site, and or just let me know, and I'll make sure you can get in touch with him if you need to. Ken, before we move on to what we had been talking about, I found some information, some demographic information that I wanted to read to you.
Okay.
Yesterday, we were talking with Joan Pride of the Kiplinger Letters, and we were talking about some demographic things, and primarily about what was happening in the urban areas, the revitalization, the reviving of the urban areas in the country. And here were some demographics that we found. And the only point I'm making here, folks, is this kind of information is available out there. And Ken will tell you that it's available more and more about a lot of different things. And let me just read this to you. Retail surveys show that African Americans and renters. Now, that's an interesting group there. African Americans and renters spend more money on clothes than any others. And Hispanics spend more on children's clothes and movie theaters. Also, inner city consumers constitute $85 billion in annual retail buying power. Now, what that tells me, if I'm in the children's clothing business and I have a Hispanic population of any size in my community, I need to be focusing on those people.
Absolutely.
And so the whole thing is not about the specifics, folks, but that this kind of information, and it's almost like baseball, isn't it? I mean, you can get any kind of statistic you want in baseball, Ken. So these days, you can get almost any kind of statistic about your marketplace or about the things that you sell and the people you sell to.
That's exactly right. If someone, there are basically two enormous markets in the United States today, and it's very simple to find them. All you have to do is take a look at a graph that maps out where the bulge is in the population. 18 to 34 is not one of them. It used to be. But the two now are under 17 with a peak at age 10. The kids market is going to go through the roof. And let me tell you a couple other things about the kids market. We've, in the research that we've done in comparing in adjusted dollars in terms of the amount of money spent on kids by parents, it's a factor of 4 over the last 20 years. If parents spent $100 on kids' toys a year 20 years ago, they are now spending $400, and it's in adjusted dollars. And we were thinking about, you know, why is that? Well, in a lot of cases, kids have 4 parents and 8 grandparents, and an awful lot of guilt.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, and mom and
that
dad.
That guilt rings the cash register.
Oh, you bet your life it does. It rings the cash register with kids' clothes. A lot of the boomers had their children late, and that's the type of business that's driving Gap and a lot of the other stores that sell the higher end clothing.
We just have to pay attention to these things. Ken, where can we go to find the kind of demographic information that we're talking about?
Well, a lot of this stuff is proprietary according to certain industries. If you have, small business people, I would encourage small business people. I don't care if you're in automotive or clothing or in computers, but two things you can do. You can belong to organizations that represent your particular field and go to trade shows.
Yep.
Because it's amazing the type of return that you can get in terms of information.
A lot of the proprietary information that you're talking about, and when you say proprietary, what you're saying is these are groups, companies, whatever, who through their research and in contact with their customers have accumulated this proprietary information, and they will share some of that with you at those trade shows, won't they?
Yeah. The people that I have found, I tell you, I've been around small business people and working with them for the last 20 years, and I can tell you pretty much who's going to succeed and who isn't, and it's based on the people who will listen and not think that they know everything.
Yeah. All right. Stand by, Ken. We're going to come back in a few minutes. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ken Grombach is our special guest and our good friend. We're talking about demographics. We're going to get back into this retirement thing. I've still got something I want to tell you about that. We'll come right back. 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. All right. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ken Grombach is our special guest and our good friend, a member of our Brain Trust. Our phone number is 888-822-8255 if you'd like to join us. Ken, earlier in the hour we were talking about the elderly, pushing the what I call our brain trust, the marketplace brain trust, the older people out at an early age, and we were talking about the retirement issue here, people retiring at such an early age. There are people retiring today in their late 40s. And I'm not talking about people who sold a company and got rich. I'm talking about people who were just regular employees, and for whatever reason, I'm not saying they walked away with a big, a full retirement for the rest of their life, but they are retiring at 48, 49, 50, 51, 52. Teachers, people like that.
I think my immediate reaction to that is probably envy.
Well, yeah, you're like Dagwood. I don't know if anybody if you saw the Blondie cartoon recently. Blondie told Dagwood that the Smithersons or whatever retired, and he said, "What? They're younger than we are." She said, "Nevertheless, they retired." And he jumped up and he said, "I demand to see their accounting. I demand to see their papers. How can this be?" But the thing is, of course, most of those people are not just sitting around in their recliners. They're they're going back and doing something else. Many of them are starting small businesses. But one of the things you point out that you and I have talked about that I think is very important, you're saying that low unemployment, because of the demographic situation we're talking about, because there is such low unemployment, you think that that's actually impacting entrepreneurialism.
Impacting? Are you kidding? That's going to be your single biggest problem. What we have an unusual situation in the United States today relative to entrepreneurs starting new business. There's lots of money around. If you have a decent idea and you can't get money, you're not looking hard enough. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of money around. One of the proofs of that is what's happening to the stock market. And our predictions are that the stock market's going to be fine for at least another 10 years.
Right.
Lots and lots and lots of money around. But what's going to happen, in our opinion, very soon here, you're going to be able to go to people and say, I have this fabulous idea. Will you invest $100,000 into it? And the venture capitalist will say, yes, we will, but do you have the people to carry this out?
Mm-hmm.
We want to meet the people. And then you'll discover your biggest problem, and that is getting people.
You may not have the people. You know, a perfect example of that, not having people, but of the idea and the money. Recently in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article in there about a guy out in California who wanted to start an e-commerce company to sell furniture online.
Right.
He had raised $300 million in capital,
mm-hmm.
and his website still wasn't up. He wasn't even selling anything. He just had this idea, and he had raised $300 million, and his website is going to be up Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, that just proves what you were just saying.
Well, yeah, that's another issue. I mean,
the people behind all that, that's the key, and I think you're right. And one of the things that blows you away is when you need to hire someone, especially a key person in your company, you've got to steal that person from someone.
Yeah, you cannot. If you hire somebody who's currently unemployed, you're probably taking a very, very bad risk.
Yep.
Because people, when you have 3% unemployment, and you know, God bless them, it's not an indictment of people, but,
mm-hmm.
but the remaining 3% probably can't be employed. So if you're hiring somebody who is unemployed, there's an excellent chance you're hiring an unemployable. Yeah, you have to take somebody from someplace else.
What are some things that we can do to, if we get good people, to keep them?
Well, I think you have to keep in mind that it's not just money that keeps people working someplace. What we tell people here, I have about 50 people working for me, and we have town meetings where I bring everybody into my office, every big office, but I bring everybody in here, and they sit all over the floor, and they sit on the furniture, and I say, listen, if you're not happy driving to work saying I'm looking forward to getting there and doing what I do, then I consider it my responsibility to sit down and work out with you something that will excite you about coming to work.
And this is you talking directly to your employees?
Absolutely, one-on-one. I have all the managers and everybody. I jam into this room. If we get much bigger, we're going to have to do something else. But you have to have your finger on the pulse of your business, and that means knowing. I do what they call management by walking around.
MBWA, good for you.
Yeah. I look at people. I catch them doing something really well. I compliment them. And you know what? I have really, really good people.
Well, the thing is, you're not going to bed at night wondering which one of your employees you're going to lose.
Right.
Which I mean, there are a lot of people out there right now who, I mean, one of the worst fears that they have is that one of the employees is going to walk up to him and say, "Hey, boss, have you got a minute? I need to talk to you about something."
Yeah.
I mean, talk about putting a shiver up your spine.
Well, I'd say combine that with you train someone, you spend a lot of time with them, and essentially what you're doing is you're investing in a company asset.
Right.
And then, I mean, our phone rings all day long with headhunters trying to steal our people for other people. And
mm-hmm.
that's just, and there's nothing you can do about that. You can get as upset as you want about that, but there's nothing you can do. You have to be on the offense, not the defense. And by being on the offense means that you have to take care of your people.
Well, one of the things that I know you point out, and we'll talk about when we come back, is that it's not always about money.
No.
And you've got some ideas on that we're going to get you to tell us about when we come back. Folks, it's 39 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. The host is Jim Blassingame. The show is the Small Business Advocate. The guest is Ken Grumbach. with KGA Advertising out of Middletown, Connecticut, and the subject is demographics. And we've been talking about how demographics affect your business, but right now, instead of demographics affecting your customers, your sales, we're talking about how the way our demographic makeup of our country is today is affecting your ability to hire and keep good employees. And we all know unemployment is down at, a 30-year record low now, Ken?
I think it's closer to a 50.
Maybe so. I know that it keeps moving back. I mean, we keep having to go farther and farther back. But one of the things we were talking about when we took the break was the fact that some of the things that you were doing and that you've seen other people do to keep these good employees. And I made the comment that I wanted you to comment on now, that it's not always about money. More, it seems like I've read several surveys that said that more people left for things other than money than left for money.
Right.
When they leave your company.
You know, the single biggest thing that my people ask here about this organization is they want to know what's going on. They want to be a part of the decision-making process, and they want to know the inside information.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly why, as I mentioned earlier in your show, that at least like once every 2 weeks, I say, we need a town meeting right now. There's a rumor going around. We'll take care of that. We'll take care of this. We'll announce a baseball game. Get them in here, and we might all eat ice cream together and
mm-hmm.
talk. What it's done is that we have enjoyed a turnover rate that's almost nil, because we pay our people generously, but that's only part of it. People do want to be paid according to the marketplace and according to what they believe they're worth. But once that is satisfied, then you're dealing with a myriad of other things. They need to feel like they have a part. They need to feel like they're contributing. They need to feel like you appreciate them. We have a program in place here called Hockey Stick Program. Whenever we catch anybody scoring a goal, and we used to have the Hartford Whalers, the NHL team that moved down by you guys there someplace.
Right.
Whenever we catch anybody in a self-sacrificing way contributing to the overall good of the company, they get a hockey stick, and it's awarded to them in a ceremony. They get three hockey sticks, and we send them to the Caribbean with their spouse on us.
How about that?
Yeah, and it's it reverberates.
And you know the thing here,
through the marketplace. Go ahead.
People are listening to you say that, and they're saying, I can't afford that. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I'm not saying you should send your employees to the Caribbean, but I will tell you this. You may not be able to afford not to do something like this, and the reason is you've got to pay attention to the indirect costs. Now, the indirect costs, Ken, I'll be interested to see if you agree with me here. The indirect costs are unproductivity. You've got a lot of productive people there. You employ 50 people. If you weren't doing some of the things that you're doing, you might have to hire 60 or 70 people to do what the 50 people that you've got now are doing, because they're happy, and happy people are productive. But if they weren't happy and you had a high turnover rate, you might have to have 10 or 15 more people. That's what does that cost? That costs maybe probably a lot more money than what you're paying in total payroll right now.
Right.
And guess what? You're having fun. In the other scenario, nobody's having fun.
That's you hit the nail on the head. The Caribbean vacations don't cost us a whole lot of money. I think they're under $2,000 in total, and plus the employees' time. And we maybe do two or three of those a year. And that's when you think about the $6,000, $8,000, maybe even $10,000 that you might spend on a program like that. You lose one or two good people if you don't think it costs you that in productivity and time and effort, because you're paying with a lot more than just money when you're looking in the marketplace for good people. You're paying through your own effort and your own time, and those things are so precious today.
You mentioned, I'm sorry, Ken, go ahead.
Well, just a couple other things that I'll tell you that I do. I send birthday cards to everybody that works here, and I do it myself. I have a folder on my desk, and it says birthdays. I know whose birthdays are coming up in August. I send them cards, and I sign them. I can't tell you what that's worth. Another thing that we do, we give people turkeys at Thanksgiving time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nothing expense. The turkey is on the table at Thanksgiving. The family members around, guess where the turkey came from? KGA.
Yep. It's an $8 turkey.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's lots of little things you can do. And you know what? They're certainly not scientific, and they're not political. They're just good old common sense.
And it's your employees knowing that the boss actually cares about them enough to do to make those kinds of gestures.
Right.
That I think owners and managers, many times we underestimate how important a pat on the back, a little bit of a, as you said earlier, catching someone doing something right and complimenting them, giving them some kind of recognition. How about this? How about these two words? Good job.
Right.
It's amazing how much those two words will buy you in a relationship with an employee. Good job, John.
Right.
You don't have to send them to the Caribbean. Just say good job.
Right.
What are some other things that you guys do? You said something about a baseball game the other day.
Well, we sponsor there's a Twilight League. That's a national thing, and I think there's a national World Series. But we have the KGA Twilight League, which is like semi-pro players. And again, it's not a big expense. I don't know, it's like $3,000 for the year. And we're taking everybody and their families to the ball game to watch the KGA team play another team from another town.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hot dog truck that's going to be there. We're going to have prizes and.
And folks, the things that Ken's talking about, it's not that we want you to do those things or maybe even do it on that scale. Just do something, because it costs a lot more to lose that much productivity and to lose a good person and to have to replace them. Stand by. We're going to be back in just a second. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingen, the Small Business Advocate. Ken Grombach is our special guest. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour as Grace Slick takes us into the segment. Ken Grombach is our special guest. He's the president of KGA Advertising. Ken, give us your website one more time.
It's www.kgaadv.com.
Okay, great. And give us, do you have an 800 number?
You know, there's kind of a funny story about that. I screwed it up.
I guess you don't.
Well, yeah, we do.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But you know, right now I don't have it in front of me.
Ah.
And if you dial it wrong, you get one of those sex numbers.
Oh no.
Yeah. So.
So don't give out the wrong one.
No,
we don't want to do that. Okay.
I did that one time.
Never
it's not,
mind.
It's not exactly like our regular number, and it was very embarrassing. So.
I can imagine. Never mind. Hey, listen, you were telling me in the break. You were telling me about. An interesting thing about the baby boomers and that demographic.
Well, there's actually two parts to this, and the satisfying a customer today is very different than it was 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, radically different. And if you don't wake up to the radical difference, then you're probably not satisfying your customers. The baby boomer has tons of money. The people that are currently 35 to about 52 have a lot of money. We reach our peak earning in the United States at about age 48. The baby boomer right now is peaking at age 42, which means that we have about 6 more years of this massive generation even getting more money. So if you offer a product and you're just saving people money, you might want to reconsider what else they pay for your product, because
mm-hmm.
today we're told that a consumer looks at a product, number one, what's the price, number two, how long is it going to take me to get it?
Mm-hmm.
And number three, what kind of effort am I going to have to expend myself in this process to get this? Because those are the three things that I spend on any product. And if you have a low price, but it's going to take me a very long time and a lot of effort to get your product, I don't want it. What I want you to do, we sell beds for one of our clients. And this is what we do. We have low price. We pick up their old bed and take it away for them. They love us for that. We deliver the new bed and set it up, and we do it within, I believe it's a 2-hour window. Most furniture stores will tell you to stay home this afternoon. Well, you try to tell a soccer mom to stay home in the
right.
afternoon, you're whacked. You're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different marketplace.
So what you need to do, what you're saying is small business owners need to be saying, okay, what motivates my customer, my prospects, is it money? Is it price point? Or is it what we can do for them? What value can we add to their life? What quality can we add to their life? And if that's the case, then money doesn't matter. And guess what? That increases your margin automatically.
Yeah, I tell you, if you're thinking only about having the lowest priced product, you're out of your mind, because you're probably going to go out of business. But I think, and I tend to think in terms of small retailers, if you want to go up against the Walmarts, out-service them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? There's an axiom that we use in retail that we tell our clients all the time, and that is make your product easy to buy. There's a reason that candy is down low in the supermarket, because that's where the kids are. Don't make them reach for it. You make them reach for it, and it won't sell as much. Make your product easy to buy.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, when we pitch a campaign to a client, what I tell my people here, I said, remember now, these people already have 100% of their time filled. Don't go into them with something that's going to fill up more time.
Absolutely. Ken, that's got to be the last word. We're going to gotta wrap up the hour. As always, you did a great job, and looking forward to having you back.
My pleasure.
See you later.
Take care,
Ken,
my friend.
Ken Brownback, ladies and gentlemen, the president of KGA Advertising out of Middletown, Connecticut. Got to wrap it up for this hour. I'll be back in a minute, though. But before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blessinger, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blessinger. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.